The Top 10 Mistakes Recruiters Make with Impact. In 1995, Bill Brooks, the founder of the Brooks Group, co-wrote a book called You're Working Too Hard to Make the Sale. During their research, Mr. Brooks and his co-author, Tom Travisano, collected a wide range of data by watching literally thousands of sales transactions take place. Perhaps one of the most valuable observations they made was when they compared two types of salespeople against each other. One type simply winged their presentations to their prospects, while the other type employed some sort of linked, sequential selling system. Not surprisingly, the salespeople who used a sales model did remarkably better. In fact, their success rate was more than double that of the salespeople who didn't use the system at all. There are a number of different sales models being employed throughout the sales profession today, and the Air Force Reserve has used several different models throughout its history. We're not here to discuss the pros and cons of each one, because the only system that should matter to you is the one the Air Force Reserve has selected for use by all of its recruiting and retention personnel. Of course, I'm talking about the Impact Selling System. Whether you are brand new to using the Impact Selling System or were first exposed to it years ago, you are expected to apply its principles and strategies every day of your recruiting career. Understandably, newer recruiters are more likely to make mistakes in their sales presentations. However, we find that even experienced recruiters get off track and stray from the Impact System once in a while. We see it happen from our own observations of recruiters and salespeople in action, and we hear it from their supervisors and managers after they conduct joint coaching calls. In this session, we're going to identify the top 10 mistakes recruiters make with Impact and how to avoid them. Not surprisingly, these mistakes line up with the 6 steps of the Impact Selling System, so we'll present them in that order, and we'll discuss each one in some detail. Number 1 starts right at the investigate step, a lack of pre-call planning. Sometimes there's a tendency on the part of the recruiter to think their experience alone can carry them through a sales interview. As a result, they don't prepare questions to ask. They don't ask themselves, "What am I trying to accomplish in this upcoming interview?" Or in the case of people they've already met with before, they fail to realize that things change in the lives of applicants. For example, they don't bother to ask the applicant if there have been any changes in their eligibility status or personal life, such as a traffic ticket, health issue, friend, marriage, divorce, or a change in civilian job. Some of those things could disqualify the applicant or change their interests, even if only temporarily. Mistake number 2 is also in the investigate step, and that is a failure to prospect. When we ask recruiting office supervisors if they think their recruiters do enough prospecting, the answer is always the same: no. Why is that? One reason could be that prospecting is not nearly as much fun as selling. Selling to a qualified lead is what most recruiters live for. However, prospecting to find those qualified leads is hard work. We like to use a fishing analogy to compare prospecting and selling. Most fishermen will tell you the fun part of fishing is when you're in the boat with the fishing line in the water, not when you're gathering up your supplies, packing the car, and cutting bait. Because prospecting isn't as enjoyable, many recruiters avoid doing it. Instead, they rely on service reputation, temporary conditions such as force shaping, a bad civilian job economy, get-one referrals, or an already target-rich environment. The problem is those conditions can disappear, and suddenly the recruiter has no proactive plan in place to find new leads. Let's move to the meat step for mistake number 3, dominating the conversation. The secret to successful recruiting is not in the telling, it's in the asking and listening. In an ideal sales interview, the lead or applicant should be doing 80% of the talking. Unfortunately, all too often, the percentage is the other way around, with the recruiter doing most of the talking and not enough listening. Why does this happen? The problems usually begin when the recruiter fails to establish a purpose to the meeting. They forget to use a statement of intention and primary bonding statement that lets the lead or applicant know what's going to take place in the interview. Those two statements also lay the groundwork for establishing trust and rapport, which make it easier for the lead or applicant to open up to the recruiter. Without the trust factor, the applicant is hesitant to speak, and the recruiter has a tendency to revert to telling everything they can about the Air Force Reserve, instead of asking their lead or applicant what's important to them. Mistakes 4, 5, and 6 are found in the probe step, the largest and most important step in the impact selling system. Number 4. The recruiter asks questions but answers the question himself or herself. If you work in the radio industry, dead air or silence is considered bad. Listeners will change the station if the music or conversation stops for too long. That's not the case during a sales interview. Some silence is just fine. Some recruiters don't like moments of silence once they ask a question. So if they don't get an immediate response from the leader applicant, they have a tendency to answer for that person. The problem with that is they might deliver the wrong answer. It's important to remember the differences in behavior styles here. When you ask a question to a talker or doer, they will generally respond right away. Pacers and controllers, however, like to formulate the response in their mind before speaking, so give them adequate time to respond. If you think perhaps the person isn't responding because they didn't understand the question, try rewording it, but don't answer the question yourself. Number 5 is the second mistake recruiters often make in the probe step: failure to ask 3 deep questions. The leading cause of failure in any sales interview can usually be traced to the quality or lack thereof of the questions asked by the recruiter. In an effort to race through the discussion and move on to the apply step, the recruiter fails to ask the 3 deep questions that can uncover the real problem. Instead, the recruiter may ask questions that sound like they come from a government checklist, and after hearing the answer, they simply move on to the next question without asking a follow-up question or even showing interest in what the person said. Lean forward toward your leader applicant. Listen with your eyes, your heart, and your ears. The third mistake recruiters make in the probe step, and mistake number 6, not asking enough questions. Undoubtedly, this is the most common mistake made by recruiters in the probe step. A leader applicant is sitting in front of you, and they say something like, "I'm interested in going to college, and I need some money to pay the tuition." At this point, the recruiter's eyes light up and they unload everything they know with a pitch about the GI Bill and other tuition assistance programs. Then they try to close the sale, only to discover there's not enough value in the one star they uncovered, because the one benefit you offered can be matched or exceeded by another service. Remember the second rule of the impact system: don't move on to the next step until you've exhausted the step you're in. Keep digging to get insight or depth into your lead's problems. And don't stop until you've uncovered a minimum of 3 stars, and preferably 5. Let's move on to the apply step and mistake number 7, targeting solutions far off target from the problem. The impact selling system is an application-based selling process, not a demonstration-based process. In other words, the recruiter must take what he or she learns in the probe step and apply the information to a customized solution that provides the applicant with exactly what he or she needs. Regrettably, when a recruiter has failed to dig deep enough in the probe step and doesn't have adequate product knowledge of what the Air Force Reserve can offer, it's much more difficult to deliver on-target recommendations. Therefore, instead of prescribing a personalized solution that fits the applicant's situation, the recruiter tends to dump a list of features and benefits, many of which don't apply to the applicant. Mistake number 8 is found in the convince step and is sometimes called the error of omission. Mistake number 8 is failing to stop and use the step itself. By this step of the sale, the recruiter is excited and the applicant is excited, and everything is looking good. Your targeted solution makes sense to the applicant, and you assume the person is already convinced to commit to the Air Force Reserve. So why even bother with the convince step? Skip it and go right to the tie-it-up step, right? Wrong. This omission can be disastrous. Skipping the convince step violates the first rule of the impact selling system: never skip a step. In some cases, it may very well appear the applicant is sold and ready to join, but sometimes buyer's remorse sets in following a major purchase, and a decision to join the Air Force Reserve is a major purchase. The chances of buyer's remorse occurring can be greatly reduced if we just take some time to assure the applicant that every claim we've made for the Air Force Reserve is true by providing the proof. So take your applicant to visit the unit where they would be assigned. Let them see the work area and meet some of the people. Offer third-party social proof of your claims with fact sheets and copies of contracts that detail the benefits the applicant will receive. Don't forget to offer testimonial letters from satisfied unit members you recruited. Let's move on to the tie-it-up step for mistake number 9, which is also a mistake of omission. Not having the courage to ask the applicant to take action. If you don't ask, they won't join. It's that simple. But yet simple things can be difficult. In fact, research indicates 65% of people working in sales, and again, recruiting is sales, don't ask for the order. Why? Perhaps they think the applicant will jump up and say, "Sign me up," or they fear rejection if the applicant says no. The impact selling system does not include any manipulative or canned closes. Instead, we teach recruiters to use the assumptive close. It's as simple as saying, "Let's get the paperwork started," or asking, "Are you ready to begin your Air Force Reserve career?" The key is to ask the applicant to take the next step. Mistake number 10, and the overall biggest mistake recruiters make with Impact: failure to use the Impact selling system in the first place. Instead of using the Impact selling system, the recruiter wings it. As a result, they don't know where they are in the selling process, and they keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again. Remember what we said at the beginning of this lesson. Research indicates salespeople who used a linked sequential selling system have more than double the chance of being successful over someone who tries to sell without a system. So why work twice as hard as you have to? Learn and use the Impact selling system. To review, here are the top 10 mistakes recruiters make with Impact. 1. Lack of pre-call planning. 2. Failure to prospect. 3. Dominating the conversation. 4. The recruiter asks questions, but answers the questions himself or herself. 5. Failure to ask 3 deep questions that can uncover the real problem. 6. Not asking enough questions. 7. Targeting solutions far off target from the problem. 8. Failing to stop and use the convince step itself. 9. Not having enough courage to ask the applicant to take action. And finally, 10. Failure to use the Impact selling system. Are you guilty of any of these 10? If so, work to correct your mistakes and get back on track.